If you have your Bibles with you, turn to Acts chapter 1. I'd like to read verses 3 to 14. I want to talk about Jesus' message that followed the resurrection. Jesus' message that followed the resurrection. During the 40 days after he suffered and died, Jesus appeared to the apostles from time to time, and he proved to them in many ways that he was actually alive. And he talked to them about the kingdom of God. Once when he was eating with them, he commanded them, "Do not leave Jerusalem until the Father sends you the gift he has promised. As I told you before, John baptized with water, but in just a few days you'll be baptized with the Holy Spirit." So when the apostles were with Jesus, they kept asking him, "Lord, has the time come for you to free Israel and restore our kingdom?" He replied, "The Father alone has the authority to set those dates and times, and they are not for you to know. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, through Judea and Samaria, to the ends of the earth." And after saying this, he was taken up into a cloud while they were watching, and they could no longer see him. As they strained to see him rising into heaven, two white-robed men suddenly stood among them. "Men of Galilee," they said, "why are you standing here staring into heaven? Jesus has been taken from you into heaven, but someday he will return from heaven in the same way you saw him go." Then the apostles returned to Jerusalem from the Mount of Olives, a distance of half a mile. And when they arrived, they went to the upstairs room of the house where they were staying. Here are the names of those who were present: Peter, John, James, Andrew, Philip, Thomas, Bartholomew, Matthew, James, son of Alphaeus, Simon the Zealot, and Judas, son of James. And they all met together and were constantly united in prayer, along with Mary, the mother of Jesus, several other women, and the brothers of Jesus. May the Lord add his blessing to his word here this morning. Well, happy Easter to all of you. If I didn't get to say that, I know we had a big crowd here today, and that's a good thing. And we always have more space. We all have more chairs that we can put in here as well. But I just want to wish you a happy Resurrection Sunday, the day we celebrate the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That really is an important day to remember the resurrection, because it does prove our faith is real. Our faith is genuine. Our faith is proven, which is something the Apostle Paul really stressed, as you would read in 1 Corinthians 15, verses 14, 17, 20, just highlighting a few of those verses. And he says, "If Christ has not been raised, then all our preaching is useless, and your faith is useless. And if Christ has not been raised, then your faith is useless, and you're still guilty of your sins. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead. He's the first of a great harvest of all who have died." That promise of the resurrection is a promise for you and I, that we too will one day rise to meet the Lord in the air. Now, the resurrection of Christ is really the climax of our faith, and it does reveal that our faith is in the right place. Only Jesus has conquered the grave. He rose from the dead. There is no marker for his grave anymore, because it's empty. It's an empty tomb. It's an empty grave. He rose from the dead. He ascended into the heavens, sitting at the right hand of the Father, interceding for us on a daily basis. He's a Savior that lives. We don't serve a dead God. We serve a God who is alive. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, so that everyone who would believe in him would not perish, but have everlasting life." Jesus was the fulfillment of that promise from God, and he was sent in our place to die on a cross of Calvary, in our place, paying the penalty of sin, which was death, that we might be forgiven of our sin, and that a way might be opened into heaven. So today we celebrate the ultimate proof of who Jesus was, that he got accomplished through his resurrection. And it was a proof that was so strong that many of his followers that started to fall away just before his crucifixion, and then watching the crucifixion, there's a lot of them that their faith started to waver at that time. But we see once the resurrection happens that that's gone. And now there's this fresh zeal and passion and reality in people's lives that, yes, everything Jesus said was true and is real. And it tells us that even at one time, Jesus was speaking with over 500 people at once. And as you read here in the book of Acts, we see followers of Christ, they're gathered along with Mary, the mother of Jesus, other women. We realize that when they went to the upper room, there was 120 of them that were there. And they were there because they knew that Jesus was no longer just a story. It wasn't just words anymore. They realized that he was who he said he was. And that proved to be a changing point in their lives for them to believe. And even to the extent that we see Jesus' brothers are now there with them and rejoicing with them, now believing in Jesus, where before you read a few 15 chapters back, you'll see where they thought Jesus was a lunatic, that he was a fraud. And they're trying to tell him, stop what you're doing. But here they are now worshiping Jesus, praising him, because the resurrection proved who he said he was. And so after that resurrection, Jesus took time to appear to his disciples many times, and he took time to speak to them, to teach them, to assure them that he was who he said he was, to remind them of the message that he had been preaching to them. And during that time, he took the opportunity to share a message that he wanted them to understand and to experience. And that's kind of what I want to focus on here this morning, the message that Jesus wanted to get across to the disciples, to his followers, before he ascended into the heavens. And that's what we're going to look at here today, and we'll see how far we get into this message. Well, the first message that Jesus stressed as soon as he was resurrected was that he was alive. He wasn't a ghost. He had a real body. He was very much alive, so he wasn't a spirit. He was very much God in the flesh. In Acts 1:3, it says, during the 40 days after he suffered and died, he appeared to the apostles from time to time, and he proved to them in many ways that he was actually alive. See, a lot of them at first kind of thought, well, his spirit's alive, just his spirit. But Jesus wanted to show, no, I am fully alive. And come see me. Come hug me. Come touch me. Come look and feel the nail prints in my hands and my feet. Come look at my wound in my side. I am the real Jesus that was crucified on that day. And so Jesus, he allowed them to touch him. He allowed them to hug him. He ate with them. He cooked a meal for them, sat down with them, talked with them multiple times. Bible says he visited with Martha and Mary as well, Joanna and other women. He talked with followers, even on a road, walked on the Emmaus Road. Then Bible says he met with over 500 people. And so Jesus was really wanting to get the message across to all of his followers. I am indeed alive. I'm not a spirit. I'm not a ghost. I am God in the flesh. In 1 Corinthians 15, 5-7, Paul kind of gives an explanation there further of saying who was there. He said he was seen by Peter, then by the 12. After that, he was seen by more than 500 of his followers at one time, most of whom are still alive as of this writing, though some have died. Then he was seen by James, and later by all the apostles. And then Paul goes on to talk about, and lastly, he was seen by me in that Damascus Road experience. And that's something we should realize, that our Lord and our Savior, he wants to meet with us. He wants to encounter us. He wants to meet us wherever we might be. And wherever you might be, maybe it's in the night, maybe you'll have a vision or a dream. Maybe it's as you're walking down a road, maybe the Lord would appear to you or speak to you. Maybe when you're in church that you'll feel the warmth of his spirit touching your heart. Jesus really wants to show us he's alive. He's alive. We serve a risen Savior. That's so very, very important that we realize that. His grave is empty, and he's alive forevermore. So that's the first message that Jesus was wanting to declare to all of his followers after his resurrection, that he was indeed alive. He wasn't a ghost, wasn't a spirit. He was alive in the flesh right before them. And then secondly, after the resurrection, Jesus taught them about the message of the kingdom of God. Acts 1:3 says, during the 40 days after he suffered and died, he appeared to the apostles from time to time and proved to them in many ways that he was actually alive. And then he talked to them about the kingdom of God. And it's interesting here, again, Jesus kind of stressing some truths of the gospel to the people one last time before he ascends into the heavens. And so, you know, sometimes we just think of Jesus as our Savior, as our Messiah. I wonder how often we think of Jesus as our King. We sang that actually this morning. I don't know if you realize that we were worshiping him as the King of all kings, the Lord of all lords. And that's something we need to understand about the kingdom. Whose kingdom? His kingdom. That's the kingdom that we want. That's the kingdom that we want to follow. That's the kingdom that we want to acknowledge, the kingdom of Christ. And so as you think about that, you know, we come to the place where, you know, we place our faith in Jesus Christ. You know, we make a confession of faith that we believe in Jesus. But if you ever got to that place where you acknowledge Jesus as your King, have you ever had that picture in your mind that maybe that as you were kneeling down on your knees, you have an appearance before the King? And you need to remember, you're appearing before the King of all kings. And that as you would bow before him, that you are promising that you will submit to him, you will submit to his rulership, and that you make a pledge of allegiance to him. And that's a part I think sometimes we miss in our Christian faith, that, you know, we just so easy say, oh, well, I believe. I think we need to go to that step further where we pledge allegiance to the King of all kings. And we surrender our lives to him to do what he would want us to do. You know, we need to understand that he's already the King of kings. He's already the Lord of lords. And soon he will be coming back to this earth and being the King here of all the earth as well. It's a kingdom that starts, first of all, in our hearts. As we respond, as we welcome Christ into our lives, that's where it starts. We repent of our sins. We submit ourselves to his authority. We pledge that allegiance to him. And Jesus was really wanting to make sure that people would become believers in his kingdom, and a kingdom that was greater than all the kingdoms of the world. And he tells us that even when Jesus first started to preach, his first message was really about the kingdom. And we see that in Matthew 4:17. It says, from then on, that was after the baptism of Jesus, Jesus began to preach, repent of your sins, turn to God, for the kingdom of heaven is near. And so to be a part of that kingdom, there needs to be a turning from sin, a turning from the kingdom of darkness, because that's where we were. We were all in the kingdom of darkness. We were following the kingdom of darkness instead of the kingdom of light. And so Jesus is telling us that the step to get from a darkness kingdom into a light kingdom comes when we start to turn from our sins and we acknowledge God and submit our lives to our new King, Jesus Christ. And so that's something that's very important for us to do. He wanted to kind of stress that aspect for us again. Matthew 24:14 says, and the good news about the kingdom is going to be preached throughout the world so the nations will hear it, and then the end will come. And so we're to keep sharing this good news of the kingdom so that others can come to faith in Jesus Christ as well. It's not supposed to be something that we keep to ourselves. It's supposed to be something that we share, we open up our hearts, and we try to tell the whole world, that the whole world would be ready for the coming of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So Jesus wants all people to be saved. Jesus wants all people to come to faith in him. Jesus wants all people to plead their allegiance to him, that they can be part of his kingdom where he is King of their lives. And so maybe that's a good question to ask yourself this morning. Is he king of your life? Is Jesus king of your life? Have you submitted yourself to his rulership, to his authority over your life? Because that's what we're supposed to do, because he is the king of kings and the Lord of lords. And so Jesus wanted to tell us before he ascended, remember the kingdom. Keep preaching the kingdom. Keep telling people about the kingdom. And thirdly, after his resurrection, Jesus also wanted to get across the message of the Holy Spirit, that the Holy Spirit was going to be poured out on all believers, and to seek that baptism, that infilling that's going to help to comfort them and help to comfort and empower them. Again, Acts 1, 4, and 5, he says, once when he was eating with them, he commanded them, do not leave Jerusalem until the Father sends you the gift he promised. As I told you before, John baptized with water, but in just a few days, you're going to be baptized with the Holy Spirit. And so Jesus wanted the world to know and his followers to know that there's an experience for you to have, and that's a baptism of the Holy Spirit, an empowerment, a burning, a fire that can burn within your hearts that's going to help you, encourage you, strengthen you, empower you to do the service of the Lord. And so it's also going to be a comfort to you. The Lord wasn't going to leave us comfortless. He wanted to leave us in comfort. And so he said, the Holy Spirit is going to come. He's going to comfort you. He's going to help you. His presence is going to remind you that God is real and that your faith is in the right place. It's going to, the Holy Spirit, he's going to burn inside your heart. There's going to be a sensation inside of you that is going to long for him. And see, sometimes in our world, everyone can sense that, but they don't know necessarily where to turn. And so they turn to a lot of other different things, different gods, different people, but they'll never find satisfaction until we turn to the true God and the true Savior of all. And that's the work of the Holy Spirit. He will guide us there. John 16, it says this of the Holy Spirit, but in fact, it is best for you that I go away, because if I don't, the advocate, the comforter, counselor, depending what version of the Bible that you have, he won't come. If I do go away, then I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will convict the world of its sin and of God's righteousness and of the coming judgment. And so the Lord is wanting to remind them that the Holy Spirit is going to be sent. And he's going to help you. He's going to strengthen you. He's going to bless you. He's going to guide you. He's going to lead you. He's going to do a lot of things. He's going to help you to even to be aware of the coming of the Lord. And so I think that's some pretty good advice, that to wait upon the Lord. Wait until the promise is given. Wait. Wait for that empowerment, that infilling, that touch of the Holy Spirit to come upon your life. Seek him. You know, submit to him. Pray to him. Be serious with God, because God wants to be serious with you and he wants to touch you. Luke chapter 3, 16. This is what John responded. He said, I baptize you with water, but someone is coming soon who is greater than I am, so much greater that I'm not even worthy to be a slave and tie the straps of his sandals. And he'll baptize you with the Holy Spirit, and he adds these words, and with fire. And, you know, there's a burning sensation that God wants to keep in our hearts, and that comes from him that's going to burn for more of him. And I think that'd be a beautiful prayer that we can pray, Lord, burn in me. Burn in me, Lord. I might burn away the dross, burn away those things that aren't pleasing to you, Lord, because I want to be sold out for you. Well, that's what the Holy Spirit wants as well. He wants us to be sold out for him. So welcome him to burn within inside of you. Burn away our dross. Burn away those things that aren't pleasing to him, that we might seek him with our all and welcome him in our lives. Welcome, Holy Spirit. Which brings us into the next message that Jesus referred to that goes right along with the message of the Holy Spirit. So not only does Jesus want the Holy Spirit to comfort you, to direct you, put a fire inside of you, an excitement in your life, he wants to empower you to be bold in your witness of the gospel. So again, he doesn't want his message to be kept secret. He doesn't want his message to be kept just in you. He wants you to share that message to everyone. Acts 1:8, and you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. There's a work that the Holy Spirit wants to do. He wants to work through you and I that we might share our faith and tell others about the gospel of Jesus Christ. And if you can imagine, if we would just even speak to one person and one person responded and came to church with us next week, we'd have a big problem, wouldn't we? We'd be okay with that, though. But that's what the Holy Spirit can do. He wants to empower you to be a witness for Jesus Christ. And that starts in our homes, starts in our own communities, and then reaches out even beyond our world. So again, Jesus desires all people to come to faith. Jesus desires no one to perish, but everyone to come to faith in Jesus Christ. So there's a call to evangelism, a call to share, to preach the gospel to those who are around us in our world. And to help us when, you know, well, that's not really my makeup. I'm kind of a little bit on the shy side, or, you know, I kind of feel inadequate. You know, I really don't know the Bible that well. And, you know, we have all of our excuses, and we're good at that. And we see that throughout the Bible where people make their excuses for not doing what God wants them to do. But the Lord is saying, I have a solution. I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit. And he's going to empower you that you're going to have all the confidence that you need to start sharing the gospel with whoever you might meet. And so that's a great thing that we're to do. As the Holy Spirit comes into our lives, that we're growing, share the news. Share the news. Jesus said that in a great commission as well in Matthew 2. I think 24 actually, I believe. 28. It says, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you. And be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Go and make disciples of all the nations. We're to go and tell others about Jesus. And that's so very, very important for us. And sometimes, you know, we just get so busy with life that we don't do that. We're living in a time and a season where that's really becoming important. Tell others about Jesus. And so Jesus really wanted his believers to know after his resurrection that we are called to be witnesses. We're called to be a people who share the gospel and tell others about Jesus. And so, again, another message that Jesus wanted us to do and to stress for other people. Then a fifth message after the resurrection that Jesus wanted to stress was the message that he will return one day. Acts 1, 9 to 11, it says, after saying this, he was taken up into a cloud while they were watching, and they could no longer see Jesus. As they strained to see him rising into heaven, two white-robed men suddenly stood among them. Men of Galilee, they say, why are you standing here staring into heaven? Jesus has been taken from you into heaven. But someday he will return from heaven in the same way you saw him go. You know, for many of Jesus' followers, as you read the few verses before that, you would see that they were still kind of focusing on, okay, Jesus is alive now. He rose from the dead. Okay, take over the world. Take over, get rid of these Romans. And they were looking at a political kingdom and not necessarily a spiritual kingdom. And so Jesus tells them, it's not time yet for me to come in that political sense. It's time in the spiritual sense, but not time in that political sense yet. And so he tells them that I don't even know that time when I'll return. Only the Father in heaven knows. Only he knows. But that promise should encourage us. And, you know, there shouldn't be any fear about the coming of the Lord. As we've opened up our hearts to him, he says, I'm coming back for my people. And if we've welcomed Christ into our lives, we are his people that he's coming back for. And as he describes some of the last days, that he will return just in the same way that he left. He will come in the clouds of the air. You will see him coming. The world will see him coming. But there's a message with that about the coming of the Lord that we should take note to our hearts. Matthew 24, 42, 44 talks about this. It says, so you too must keep watch because you don't know what day your Lord is coming. And then to verse 44, you also must be ready all the time, for the Son of Man will come when least expected. And so Jesus was telling them after he rose from the dead, I'm alive, but I'm also coming back. I'm going to leave. I'm going to ascend into the heavens. I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit, but I will come back. And it was interesting, a study we started here on Wednesday. It mentions 318 times in the New Testament alone that Jesus is coming back again. And so that's a pretty important message, obviously. And so that's something Jesus wanted us to know. I'm coming back. I'm coming back. I'm going to come back in the clouds of the air to receive my people. And then last is a message to his followers after his resurrection. We see the message or the importance of meeting together. This isn't something that Jesus spoke to them, but it is something that was the result of this occasion, which I believe is a message for us to receive. He told them they were to wait until the promise of the Holy Spirit was given. And he had spoken this earlier, and we see that as the people responded to that, even as they saw his ascension, they went back and they began meeting together. They began praying. They began doing what Jesus told them to do. In Acts 1:14, we see that result. It says, they all met together, were constantly united in prayer, along with Mary, the mother of Jesus, several other women, and their brothers of Jesus. And so, you know, here we see this group, they're following through what Jesus said. Go and wait. Go and wait for that promise. But they learned that, you know what, we need to wait. We need to get together. We need to be together as people and draw together as people and worship the Lord together. There's strength in that. There's encouragement in that. There's help in that as we come together and worship the Lord together. And again, we see that this resurrection, it changes people's lives. Jesus' own brothers. Remember, they were the very ones that mocked him. They didn't even believe in Jesus. But here they all are, worshiping Jesus. And we see that some of his brothers end up writing some of the parts of our Bible as well. So the resurrection, it changes lives. But anyway, in this area, it's talking about come together. Let's worship the Lord together. Let's have fellowship together. Hebrews 10:25 says, and let us not neglect our meeting together as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near. So we need to wait on the Lord. We need to keep meeting together. It really is important. I know there's so many other things we can be doing. There's so many activities out there for all of us to be doing. But this activity of coming together, meeting together with God's people is an important activity. And that was one of the things, again, that Jesus was wanting to stress right after his resurrection and before he ascended. So as we look at this passage again, it's not a normal passage for Easter Sunday. But as I was reading through the scriptures and I came across to that, it just kind of, you know, jumped out at me. And that's what the Bible does. When you read the Bible, that's what happens. Verses just begin to step out to you. And I got thinking more and more about the fact that, you know, here Jesus is alive, and yet he wasn't just wanting to see the disciples and his followers. He wanted to teach them. He wanted to speak into their lives. He wanted to leave a message for all of us that we might be fully prepared for his coming and that we might serve him all the days of our lives. You know, the first and most important thing that Jesus wanted to say, I'm alive. I'm not dead. I'm alive. I'm real. Go ahead, you can touch me, you can feel him. He's alive, he's alive. We serve a risen Savior. And because we serve a risen Savior, he wants us to share the gospel, share the story, tell others about Jesus, be interested in the kingdom of God, seek the Holy Spirit, encourage one another, be witnesses for Jesus. Gather together all things that are important. We are to celebrate that, and I'm glad you're here today because obviously you've chosen to say, this is important to me that I'm here today. So we're celebrating the resurrection of our Lord and of our Savior.